This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
Today's forecast calls for 6 to 12 inches, and temperatures will only be in the teens overnight, so bundle up and...
Imagine, you're planning your end-of-year reports, planning for next year. What are you going to do to monetize more in 2011?
We're going to have clear and sunny skies with a perfect day of weather for everyone coming to AFCON 2010.
Warm up your marketing strategies this December in our winter oasis for affiliate marketers. AFCON 2010 Florida, December 8th through 10th at the Fairmont Turnberry Isle Resort in Aventura, Florida. Sign up now at AFCON2010.com. That's AFFCON2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Life Tips Show. Happy to be back after a little bit of a sabbatical, but happy to join David Latoury of Verse Audio to talk with us today. Welcome, David.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So can you tell us a little bit about who is Verse and what made you decide to start the company?
Certainly. Well, Verse Audio is officially a sound system and accessory producer for iPod sound systems and iPods, iPhone, and now iPad. So we've been... around since 2007, and there was a time back then, seems like a long time ago now, after we've gotten there, but back then we were kind of looking around, my partner and I, at the landscape of these little compact sound systems that you see by the hundreds and thousands. iPod dock is the category, and all of them were absolutely 100% black and white plastic, shiny plastic, and we got to talking to ourselves one day over coffee and sort of started questioning, why is it that, sound systems of this category had been made of wood and different materials over the years, but as soon as the iPod came online, everything turned to plastic. Everyone took the whole idea of the iPod and simply tried to make the iPod bigger by adding more plastic to it. And the more we dug into it, my partner and I have had sound system development experience in previous lives, and it turns out that plastic is really the worst material for a speaker or a sound enclosure. So here we're looking at this whole sea of undifferentiated stuff made out of probably the worst material possible, and we thought we could do something about that. So the idea of Verse kind of came out of that, and in March of 2007, Verse was born.
So wood is obviously the core part of your material and production. Can you tell us a little bit about that environmental impact that you're either saving or helping and or harming or somewhere in the middle?
Absolutely. Well, the three founding pillars of Verse or the values of our company are sound performance, good design, and environmental thoughtfulness. And wood certainly has loud and clear beauty to it that's just, everyone agrees to, the look and feel and the smell of wood. And to talk about the performance part a little bit, the cabinet of a Verse sound system is roughly 9 millimeters thick. We were talking about plastic a second ago. Plastic cabinets tend to be 2 or 3. And when you put a speaker in a plastic cabinet, the walls tend to flex. As the speaker pops into the cabinet, it blows up the cabinet like a balloon. And when the speaker travels back out of the cabinet, like speakers tend to do to make sound, it sucks the cabinet in, and that sucking in and blowing up produces sound on its own. So you've got a speaker trying to produce music that the musician intended, but the cabinet is either taking away from it or adding other sounds to the sound profile of the system. A wood cabinet is, you know, good and thick, doesn't move at all, and if it does, the frequency that it moves at is very similar to voices, guitars, stringed instruments, pianos, that sort of thing. It's very natural, very warm quality to the sound. So it's actually a really great material on many fronts. However, the idea that wood grows on trees is really, I think, the biggest point that was interesting to us. We dug into it a little bit, went into, with our factories to sort of understand where wood comes from, and we selected the majority of our woods from what are called plantation sources. In other words, the wood grows in a kind of farm where at the proper maturity, wood is harvested and, of course, constantly replanted in a farm-like fashion so that there's always wood present for future harvests. So the idea of picking that kind of wood, knowing that it was managed in that way, was really critical to starting out with a wood-based product. However, on the back end, we realized there was more that we could really do to, one, call attention to the issue, and two, just give back. And we came up with a program through the Arbor Day Foundation, who works with the U.S. Forest Service, to plant 100 trees for every tree that we use in production. And it is really a kind of a big deal for us to take a material that we use a lot of, but certainly give it back, and do so in a way that helps reforest areas that have been damaged by fire, rebuild natural habitat, and so on. So it's a very important component, if you will, to who we are as a company. Try to do things in a very efficient and sustainable way.
It seems you have three primary woods you're dealing with: cherry, walnut, and bamboo. What are the bigger sellers, and what's the environmental impact, you know, that you're having with those three different woods? Because my guess is those woods have their own story behind them, and certainly bamboo,
is documented on your site, is really kind of interesting. Sure. The wood that isn't obvious is pine and eucalyptus. The core of our cabinet is made of a pine-eucalyptus combination. Those two trees grow really fast. They harvest them when they're young. And again, those are kind of plantation-grown materials. But we selected woods that we knew came from the U.S. because most of the very best sustainable wood-growing practices, forestry practices, are really here and in Northern Europe. And we wanted to be very sure that we didn't choose woods as interesting and beautiful as they are that came from Africa or tropical forests, because we just couldn't guarantee that they were coming from places that we knew would be sustainably managed. Now, I would say it depends on the product, but the demand is pretty even across the spectrum of the three choices. And of course, bamboo, as you know, is not a wood at all. It works and behaves like wood, grows 20 to 30 times faster, reaches full maturity in just a few years, 3 to 5 years. And when you harvest it, it's harvested much like a grass. You cut it down by hand, not a lot of machines and heavy equipment involved in the process, and the plant itself regenerates additional shoots from its own root structure. So it's absolutely the ideal material from a, you know, a manufacturing point of view, because it grows quick, grows everywhere, it's very pervasive. There are no farming practices that need to be applied to help it grow. It just grows on its own. And when you harvest it, it grows back. So it can do that many, many times throughout a plant's life. So we concentrated with the cherry and the walnut really on very common woods that are in high abundance in Northern Europe and the U.S., and stuck with North American woods mainly to make sure that we were getting them from sources that we knew were sustainably managed. So it's kind of the rationale behind that.
I want to come back after the break and talk with you about the marketing strategy and how you've tried to infuse sustainability into your message and your brand, as well as some of the other components of design. So let's take a break, everyone. Back in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at ClickBank.com.
Every affiliate marketer wants to build their own empire. Lavish trips, new cars, fancy threads. You know, be the talk of the town. That's why I found my empire with Empire Media. They work around the clock to customize my campaign. They have the connections, the clout, and the custom offers to monetize my website at every move. My website is measured and monetized to the max thanks to Empire Media. Look up empiremedia.com, EmpyreMedia.com, and find out how fulfilling full-service affiliate marketing can be. Empire Media, reign over your competition.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
CEO Coach, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Culture and Business Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with David Latorre. Hopefully I was pronouncing that right, David.
That's right, yep.
So I wanted to talk with you about the website. We get a really good feel for the product and the philosophy, you know, behind the starting of the company. Tell us a little bit about the growth of the company, how big is the company now, and talk with people a little bit about particularly e-commerce sales on the website and some of the stories you might have regarding marketing and
sure.
any viral marketing efforts or anything you could tell us about the online marketing efforts.
Sure. Well, we were born in 2007, and one of our early techniques to get into some of the major retailers, Target was one of our first retailers, was to go to their web site first. Our experience in the past has been with a brand that had retail presence, web, and catalog. And we knew from that web was really easy to get into because stores didn't have to qualify you to get on a shelf. You didn't have to compete with another product that was there. They didn't have to carry inventory. Things could be drop shipped and so on. So it was a kind of really clever backdoor way to getting into some very big retail outlets. Being a startup, not a lot of funds for promoting ourselves. As we got into our PR effort, we realized, for instance, we were on the Ellen DeGeneres show, her 21 Days of Christmas giveaway in 2007, which was really exciting for us. Real great opportunity to be on national television. And we watched the traffic on our website lift through the day, and it was great. I mean, it was literally the biggest spike we'd ever seen. But as the years went on, we realized actual websites, blogs, and online promotion brought us easily 10 times the traffic lift to our site and made a really big difference between, you know, what you would consider would be traditional exposure, magazines and television. You'd think those would be the great ways to move a product. But it really has been webs and websites and word of mouth and people's Facebook pages and so on that have promoted us. It's web that's really driven us to be more of an e-commerce-related business. In the beginning, we hadn't really thought about the web. We figured it would be someday that we'd sell product online, but it eventually became particularly obvious as people kept coming to us directly and saying, can I buy one of these from you? I can't find a retailer near me. So we got into an e-commerce model. We added that to our mix, I want to say early, mid-2008, and it's been a growing segment of our business. And we intend to do more with it. We intend to add more products and accessories there because people are starting to get to understand our brand name, and recognize us and see us for the values that we stand for. So we think we can kind of be a little bit of an authority there and bring more to the world via that channel.
The connections to the Ellen DeGeneres show, I mean, how did that all come about? I mean, that's a huge uplift, and I'm surprised, by the way, that you don't even mention that on the site, or, you know, you don't kind of go down that path as seen on...
It's on our Facebook page. We pay a little homage to Ellen there. She's great. It was good at the time. They came to us, and I got to say, as a startup, it's good to be attached to a high visibility business like Apple and iPod and iPhone. It's helped us a lot. But the differences that we bring through our product are just completely unique in the market. Even since 2007 when we launched, no one's really stepped in to try to play a role in being an environmentally thoughtful consumer electronics company. Companies offer bits and pieces of a solution, probably because of public pressure, but really no one's taken charge and tried to make a difference, if you will, on the environmental side. So we're kind of here by ourselves, and that gives us the opportunity to do and say the things that we think need to be said, and gives us some freedom to not have to directly compete against others who are really not providing the same kind of product that we are. So the website gives us a channel to do that, and certainly being on Facebook does a little of that as well, and not being stuck with traditional media such as print magazines and television, if you will, just allows us to kind of be more on message about who we are and who we care to be in the future. So.
Tell us about some of the challenges, the bumps in the road that you've experienced along the way.
Well, it's tough being a little company. I don't care what business you're in. Being new to the business is always challenging. It costs a lot of money. It takes quite a bit of time before the thing gets up on its feet. But the hard part, of course, has just been trying to stay ahead of demand. Right now, we're out of stock a lot of the time on all the different models that we have, just because as the company grows, our ability to kind of keep things in stock, we can't keep up with it. So it's in the world of problems, it's a nice problem to have, but it's still a problem. And of course, you know, as a small company, companies need to be funded. This is simply not the time in America's history where banks or investors are really interested in getting involved in startups and entrepreneurial ventures like our own. But we've been very fortunate that the business has been really strong, and there's been lots of demand and interest in our message and our products that it hasn't been a huge issue. So challenges? Well, we started out positioning our product really against the design of the natural wood material. The handcraftedness of it, the fact that it takes 7 days to make one of our sound systems versus 2 minutes out of something out of plastic. Our customers came back to us and kept wanting to hear more about the environmental component of it. So we redirected our message from the beginning from handcrafted wood to being more of a environmentally thoughtful sound. So that's been a learning experience to sort of allow your customers to tell you what they want to hear from you. And that's been a real eye-opener. So we involve our customers more and more in features and benefits, how we position the company, what kinds of products we make next. Suggestions from our customers on our website is probably one of our more interesting channels. We really pay attention to that sort of thing. So,
Yes, that's a very interesting point, and I just want to ask more about that. you know, I'm sort of, besides running the Life Tips show here, I also own another company called Idea Launch, which is a content marketing agency. Content marketing, of course, is defined as, at least from my perspective, as the art of listening to the wants and needs of your customers and delivering it to them in a compelling, engaging way. How are you listening to those wants and needs? You mentioned a suggestions box, but are you aggressively seeking, information and feedback and ideas from your customers?
Well, we're in a fortunate position where it's unfortunate on some levels that we have more ideas than we have the ability to produce them. So coming up with ideas and inputs, if you will, to make our products better, we simply have no shortage of. But we do have a range of, I would say, power users, call it an advisor base. And we also have a number of our distributors and retailers who exhibit a certain kind of affinity, if you will, to our brand and our message and put a particular amount of effort into saying and telling our message the way that we think it should be told. And it's demonstrated in their sales figures. So we really sort of pull them in close and say, look, you know, you're a favored retailer or a favored distributor, and we would really, you know, appreciate and put particular interest in your feedback on our products, what we should make next, what features we should bring, what we should leave off, that's done a lot for us. My partner and I have combined probably 35 years of product development experience. So, you know, we've got Apple Computer, Hewlett Packard, Dell, Mattel, big brands like that in our past. So we're kind of familiar with the whole process of seeking and soliciting customer and user inputs for developing new products. So that's been really a useful tool. Like, for instance, our first product, the Verse 2X, is a two-speaker sound system. We figured it would be pretty safe because there were a lot of products like that out there, so we wouldn't have to work too hard to explain what it was. But literally got flooded. Our inbox got flooded with inputs right after Christmas. People said, hey, I got one. I love it. It'd be great if you made a clock radio. So literally, weeks later, we said, well, what should we do next? We got to start getting ready for the following season. My partner and I just said, sounds like a clock radio is what they want. And turns out that's a selling even stronger than our 2X speaker system product. So customers will tell you what they want. They'll tell you what they don't like, too, which is good. Very vocal.
In conclusion here, do you have any tips or advice that you want to pass on living a greener life with electronic products?
I certainly do. I mean, we've decided to take on the job of not only creating a company that's really kind of seeking out new ways to make a more thoughtful, efficient product, but we're trying to sort out the way that we work with our customers to help them understand how they can do better as well, because to be perfectly honest, there's only so much we can do. We make the product, we sell it, it goes into the stores, and we don't touch it again. And so it's really important that we try whenever we get a chance to get across to them ways that they play a role in the efficient use of their a product they purchase from us. So one of the big ones that we like to get across, and again, this is really brought to us again by our customers, is to really make more thoughtful purchases for things like, call it a little sound system. Our culture has become a very disposable one. People buy products, they hang on to them for a year or two, and literally throw them away when they're done. I've got a 1955 Zenith tube radio here that I've had since I was, I don't know, 10 or 12, and the thing's followed me everywhere, and you know, it's just something about the wood and the way that it was built and the look and feel of it. I could never bring it to myself to throw that thing away. I don't know why. I don't use it, but I have it with me. It's here in my office. So the idea that design and the quality of a product and what it does can live for a very long time is really something consumers need to think more about. Many times things get thrown out simply because they're out of fashion. So, to make it a greener world, we've got to stop doing some of that sort of thing and think a little harder first about bringing products into our lives that are they're going to stay there for a long time, because that's the big idea. If you buy something, you bring it into the world, you want it to have a long, long, useful life. Which brings me to my second point. The second really big thing you can do for any electronic product that you buy, or any product in particular, is to use it often, use it a lot. You have it. The best way to lower the impact of any product is to simply use it. 70-ish to 80% of the environmental impact of making electronic things is usually in the manufacturing process, and as efficiently as you run that, as much impact as you reduce, there's the other 30 or 20%, if you will, that happens throughout the life of the product. So the more that you use it, the more hours or days or years that you're using the product, you lower the impact for every event, if you will, for the time it's used. So if you're going to bring something in, think it hard, think through it, and then when you do, use it a lot. Something not a lot of consumers know about, or our third tip here, is to be smart about the use of power. And of course, everyone's heard the whole story about unplugging power adapters when they're not in use, and that's really important because there's estimates out there of between 10 and 15% of the power in a typical home goes to what they call it vampire power. There's small power adapters plugged in all over the house that simply drain power when they're even when they're not being used or when the item that they're plugged into has been charged or something like that. So unplugging power adapters is really something we're big advocates of. But on top of that, not many people know this, but you should check in your with your electric company. There are many options out there in several states where you can elect to have 50% or 100% renewable resourced power. And it's certified and checked through a number of external bodies. All of our offices, for instance, draw all of our electricity from wind-powered sources. So being smart about unplugging power adapters, but also making renewable energy choices on your electric bill are really great things to do that not a lot of people know about. So we're big advocates of that sort of thing. The more energy that, or the more consumers go after things like renewable energy sources on in a place like their electric bill, the more those things will be present, the more available they'll be, and the less expensive they'll be to use. We have a mantra here that we call cycle before recycle. And what that means is if you're done with the product, you're tired of it, you've moved on to something else, and you've got this thing sitting there, we suggest you simply move it to another room or give it to a friend or family member or donate it to charity. Just make sure the thing stays in play and used for as long as humanly possible. And I'll use my little tube radio as an example. Yeah, I bought it at a garage sale. That person was done with it. I still have it. And if I ever let go of that thing, I'm going to make sure it goes to somebody that will cherish it, take care of it, and use it. So making sure that it stays a working product for as long as possible is really a great way to lower impact. And then the last piece that we have to share is really being careful about recycling electronics. Electronic waste is getting to be a huge global issue, I'm sure. Many of your listeners have probably heard stories and seen pictures of, the recycling programs that happen in developing countries are just horrendous. The amount of toxic materials that are let loose in the environment and leached into the rivers and streams, and it's just heartbreaking, actually. And you look at it, and you can probably spot an old cell phone you used to have in among the piles of those things. People are simply changing their cell phones, less than a year, and in Japan I hear it's like every 6 months people switch a cell phone. So, again, it plays into this disposable electronic idea that the world has gotten into that really, really has to stop. So the idea here is to seek out recycling programs that promise or pledge to break down their materials, here in the U.S. at least, before they leave the country. That way the toxics are captured and the materials are recommoditized, plastics are put back into a plastic form so that they can be reused by factories anywhere in the world that may need them. And we work hand-in-hand with a partner called eStewards Enterprise. We're eStewards Enterprise. And you can find them at www.estewards-stewards.org. And they're committed to the idea of making sure that we don't, at least the U.S., doesn't export toxic materials and waste materials to developing countries like as being part of this problem. So you go to their site. There are other sites like that that can point you to the right place to make sure that a product ends up in the right place before you let go of it. So that's kind of my tips. Thoughtful purchases, often use, being smart about the kind of power that you choose, Cycling your product into other places of your home or giving it to somebody before you let it go. And, of course, at the end of the day, when all else fails, making sure that your product is properly recycled before you let go of it. So,
great tips, great advice, great company, and really enjoyed you being on the show today. How can people get a hold of you, David, if they have interest in either A, your products, or B, learning more about you and what you're doing?
Well, our website, VersAudio, VersAudio.com, is the first place to start. You can contact us through there. And info@VersAudio.com is also a really great place to get a hold of myself or anybody in our little organization. So we welcome conversations from anyone. We enjoy it.
Well, thanks again for being on the show, and again, the great tips were really helpful in helping Life Tips make the world a better place one tip at a time.
Great. Glad to be here.
Great. Thanks very much for being on the show. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks.